What's up, y'all? My name is Alan Sheriff, aka Alan the Sheriff of All Things Innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that I'm making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Let's get into it. So today, we're going to continue with the psychology segment. I want to continue focusing on mental health, ladies and gentlemen. And so I really decided that one of the most important things to focus on when it comes to mental health is also self-acceptance and compassion. And who other to have this discussion with than one of my closest friends, my man, Albert Bannerman, also known as the Wholesome Monk. He is the host of the Wholesome Monk podcast, and he boasts over 30,000 followers on TikTok. This man is killing the game right now. He is the ultimate lover of anime. He is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met. So everybody just, everybody give a welcome hand to my man, Albert Bannerman. How you doing this morning, man? You feeling good?
I'm feeling good, man. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's a pleasure. I'm excited.
No problem, man. I've always wanted to have you on this joint, man. Because you know people saying, yeah, you got to have more black people on the podcast, man. You know what I'm saying? So I had to add this man Albert to my arsenal.
I feel you, bro. Trust me.
But nah, yeah, man. I'm happy to have you on. I really enjoy picking your mind apart from time to time, and I know this is going to be a really great discussion. So let's go ahead and start this off. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself, man, and tell us a little bit about the content you create and why you create it.
So, you know, again, for those that don't know, my name is Albert Bannerman, a.k.a. Wholesome Monk, and I do a lot of anime-related content and comedy skits on, you know, TikTok, YouTube, and various other social media platforms. I also have a podcast, a Wholesome Monk podcast. This is my merch right here, the hoodie. So basically, I decided to go the anime route because, one, I really enjoy anime, and also I feel like there's a lot of stories that are made through anime, the medium that a lot of people can relate to, a lot of people can follow. I feel like there's this negative stigma on anime and the people that like anime. So I was like, you know, what's a great way to bridge that disconnect that people have? Because a lot of people know me from my acting or from my stand-up comedy. And not a lot of people know me from my anime, but a lot of people do before, you know, I started getting bigger on like TikTok and YouTube and stuff. So I was like, there's two different audiences that I feel like a lot have in common. Because at the end of the day, they're all human beings, but I feel like there's such a stigma between on both sides that I feel like no one tried to bridge together these two sides. So I was like, let me do that. And so I did that, and I try to make a community where people can express their, I guess, for lack of a better phrase or wording, their geekage or like how much of a geek or nerd they are, and without being judged by some weird, you know, societal standards or anything like that. So I was like, let me make a community that's good for anyone. Doesn't matter what your gender is, doesn't matter what your race is. We just have one thing in common. That's our love for anime. So that's what I try to represent through my content.
That's good. That's good, man. Yeah, sorry, man. I kind of lost focus a bit because the camera was twitching out a little. So, like, there's a little bit of a lag, but I'm sure it'll clear up over time. But, yeah, man, I really like that. The fact that we both have taken a strong interest in trying to build communities around things that we enjoy a lot and people who are willing to step into that and love it with, you know, the utmost passion and utmost drive and not really caring what people think, you know, and building communities around that, I think, is more important than ever, which, you know, which points to the fact that this podcast today is all about self-compassion, you know, and self-acceptance, accepting who you are, accepting, you know, yourself ultimately as an individual and what you love to do. And not letting anybody or anything get in the way of that. So I think that's one of the most important things to consider, especially when you're building a community. So I'm extremely proud of you. I've always loved your work, man. And you continue to inspire and motivate me every single day. How difficult was the journey for you, you know, on the come up? Did you find yourself ultimately always knowing yourself when you were younger and always having this passion for anime? Or do you feel like you had to find yourself over time?
Well, I do believe there is very few people in life who find themselves early or have a healthy amount of I don't care in their lives. You know, like, again, a healthy amount of that. usually is from, you know, it's from trial and error. It's from a lot of, like, I've done a lot of stuff. I've done stage work since I was like 7. So I did a lot of, like, poetry, a lot of, I did stand up at 7 years old as well. I did, you know, a lot of acting and stuff like that. So I feel like for me, it is a gradual thing. Because I feel like, well, a lot of people say, you know, like, the, you know, the phrase where people say there's beauty in the struggle, right? I feel like a lot of people, you know, like many things when it comes to stuff like that, like, overdo it, or they overanalyze it and kind of do the most instead of, like, where, you know, a healthy balance is. I think when the people say there's beauty in the struggle, they mean, oh, like, when it comes to the inner battle, like, becomes what you want, or trying to figure out who you are versus the society's standards to that. You have to bow that at all times, you know, even at a young age, you have to do that. Cause, you know, at a young age, you obviously, your parents are forcing you to do things that you may or may not want to do for various different reasons. And then you don't even figure out what you want to do. You don't, until your mind starts developing. So for me, my older brother really liked anime. So I was able to find that, discover that very early. And then I always knew I loved it and liked it. And I wanted to be a voice actor and actor because I watched so many different animes and things like that. And, like the Inuyashas or the Dragon Ball Z's and stuff. Even like my merch is inspired by DBZ. So that just shows like how much I had on my mental and how much, especially the characters related to. So it kind of helped me with my development, is knowing what storytelling was, and that, yeah, they may be fictional, but they're based off of someone's reality, someone's perception on what life is, or these different character moments were. So it helped me develop pretty early what I wanted. Sometimes I did lose my way in liking anime and stuff like that because of, you know, just time and you know, you start growing up and people, there's, again, the negative stigma on anime make you feel like if you watch it, you're not gonna be able to accomplish certain things in life. So I abandoned it for, like, I won't say like a year and a half, 2 years, not like completely, but just like really on and off. Like, I wasn't like really watching as much as I was until I moved, until I moved to Maryland. And then eventually I went to college and I was really able to focus on it. And then with that, I was able to find my stand up again. And I know y'all can't see, but like on my wall, there's like two awards, one for best comedy and then one for best editing. So I was able to win those at a film festival. And as you know, I was able to do the stand-up comedy thing that we did. So all that came through just years of just trying to build on my foundation I found really early, and then not listen to other people, what they think about what I want to do, and then kind of just launch from there.
I like that, man. I like that. One thing that really stuck out to me that you said earlier was the fact that you didn't let the stigma of watching anime or being invested into the community slow you down whatsoever. You know, you found what you enjoy, you love it, you embrace it, you watch it to the fullest, and you don't care what anybody really thinks about you, especially when you've recognized all of the positive elements within the community, and especially the type of work that the creators bring to the community, whether it be stories of compassion or friendship, or, you know, wanting to be able to help an individual in need, being able to push forward regardless of any of the boundaries that are in your way. That's what ultimately gravitated me towards anime as well. And I've always loved it. Unfortunately, I haven't had the chance to really sit down and like really ingest it, you know, like I really want to. I love anime to death, just like you. It's just, but I always love the storylines. And it's the first thing I'll go to, you know, if I don't have time. Well, if I do have some time to spend with myself and be able to relax and, you know, have fun. Like, I literally just finished watching Demon Slayer. I love that joint. Like, I'm already, like, getting the messages. Like, it's just like, yo, like, the way he just continues to push forward regardless of what anybody says and work extremely hard, like, regardless of, you know, where the boundary stands in his life. Like, he's always pushing. He's always pushing. He's always hoping for more, and he always wants to be able to help those in need. So I love it. I love it 100%. One of the things that helped gravitate me towards you ultimately as well is this view you have about how individuals from marginalized communities should be treated within the community of anime. And that's what I've always loved as much about you. And that's why I wanted to ask you, where does that come from? Does that come from the self-compassion that you've already built within yourself? Or does that come from, does that come from some other place? Where did that compassion come from? Is I guess what I'm trying to ask.
So for me personally, it came from just seeing how people treated me, I should say, when it came to like when they learned or figured out that I liked anime or like cartoons or stuff like that, right? Especially anime, because cartoons, even like, especially like American cartoons, like people kind of just know about, they're like, okay, that's just kind of like built into, quote unquote, the big melting pot that is American culture. It has a lot of things thrown into it, right? And then when it came to anime though, people are, it's just such a terrible stigma. So people are just like, well, you like anime? And I know what's funny is that I did get like bullied for it, but not as much like as other people. I never got as bad as like other people. I had it for, you know, other reasons that are out beyond my control. Let's just say that. But, you know, but when it came to anime, the real stuff came when I got older. Like I would say like college, right? Because people would be like, Albert, like, they could know me for however long, right? I got my bachelor's, so that means I was in school, for college for 4 years. And so in those 4 years, I was like, yeah, you know me, you know, and stuff like that. And people would be like, oh, you like anime? Like, huh, that's interesting. And then I'll be like, okay. And literally, like, their view, you can literally visibly see their view change of me. And I was like, I never changed at all point. Like, this is something I always loved since I was, like, my earliest memory is watching the first Pokemon movie in theaters with my best friend and his mom. So I was like, I'm confused where this perception changed. So throughout the years, like, seeing how I was treated and seeing how other people were treated, I was like, all right, this is something that needs to be, especially when you're a person of color, right? Because you already deal with everything that American society puts on you, or society in general worldwide puts on you. And then on top of that, you're a geek on top of that. So people just feel like they try to take you away. You know, a lot of people try to take you, people of color, they try to take people of color's place of self or person of self. And then like where they feel like they belong, people try to strip them of that too. And I felt like it leaks into the geek community too, which I was like, I can't have that, because this is a safe haven for a lot of people, especially Black people. Dragon Ball Z had a chokehold on the Black community in America, especially in South America too. They do whole arenas full of people to watch Dragon Ball Z episodes. Like they do stuff like that. So I was like, that shows you how big this is. It's not just America. It's not just Black people. It's not just people of color in general. It's everywhere. So I was like, I really want to focus on that and try to really build a safe space for people.
I like that, man. Yeah. It really goes into my next question of asking you. So given that you've witnessed this and you've experienced this and it's ultimately helped change the way you see yourself, how does it ultimately frame the way in which you see the world and how individuals should, or at least could, be interacting with one another on a day-to-day basis? What's your philosophy that kind of surrounds that?
When it comes to interacting with someone on like a day-to-day basis, excuse me, I tell people that I'm always in the belief that you should always be kind to everyone you come across, right? Because especially as a Black man, as a Black person, I can't wake up every day assuming that every single Caucasian or white person that I come across is going to be racist. Because then I'm just going to be angry all day. And that's just going to affect my spirit. And that's going to affect and really distort my perception on how I view people, especially particularly white people in this instance. So you can't operate through that. And I don't want to make it just seem like it's just white people, but like, you know, every race that has something against us from wherever they get that particular, viewpoint from. You just can't walk around, you know, thinking the worst of people, because that's how you get a really distorted point of view and just bitter. So I was like, you know, just treat people with kindness until they give you a reason not to. And even then, you know, I never operate out of hate. I try to operate out of understanding. Because even when someone hates you, and hate's a very strong word, I take it as a very strong word, you know, that it's coming from somewhere. And it's not saying that when someone's like, you know, racist towards you or hurts you, whether emotionally or mentally, physically, whatever have you, that you should per se forgive them. Because I feel like it's not in some, like if I hurt someone, right, let's say I hurt your feelings, right? I cannot then dictate how much I hurt you or when or if you should ever forgive me. And I feel like a lot of people who move around recklessly with low emotional intelligence act like, you know, I'm friends with this person. They take advantage of that friendship. But that's where a lot of people mess up, right? Because let's say I hurt you. I'm like, oh, Alan, like, dude, like, we've been buddies for like 6 years. Like, you should just be used to it or over it. Like, nah, like that really, it could, depend on the situation, being like, oh, Alan, you allowed me to emotionally abuse you for 6 years now. What changed now? It's like, you know, like that kind of stuff. Sometimes that happens. And people let a lot of stuff slide. I'm the person where I'm very kind, but at the same time, I know I cannot let certain things slide, because if I let you do it, then, you know, if I don't have respect for myself and my boundaries, then how can I expect other people to do that, you know? And yeah, so I try to move with just happiness and compassion towards others and empathy. I think a lot of people do not have empathy towards others in their situations, and it really drags down us as a social society. We live in a very social society. So when you don't have empathy in that, it becomes very bad very quickly.
Yeah, it does. It does. I either posed the question to myself or you posed the question to me on your podcast not too long ago, which was, how do you create that boundary for yourself where you feel like you can still be in a friendship, but you're also not being taken advantage of? And I believe I was struggling with that at a time, and I'm still quite struggling with it, where I'm able to figure out, where I'm at least trying to figure out, how do I treat a person in a type of way where I can still be their friend, but, you know, I'm not allowing them to destroy my boundary or disrespect me in some type of way. And I think one of the things that you just said about empathy is one of the strongest things to take into consideration. It's the fact that you have to be able to understand where the other person's coming from, but if it's too much for you, all in all, it reflects on how much you can take as an individual. If it's too much for you, then you just have to let it go at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You have to find what works for you. At the end of the day, you always have to remember what that person's going through. It's that empathy. But again, if you can't take so much of it, then, you know, you just have to be able to leave it alone. And so for me, I'm still struggling from day to day trying to find that boundary. For me, it's always been an issue of, oh, how close can I let a person get when it comes to the way in which they treat me in the disrespectful type of way? And, you know, how much understanding and love and compassion can I demonstrate towards this person, you know, but not to a point where I'm completely leaving myself at a disadvantage. So I believe that's something that a lot of people struggle with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And we're continuing to learn and grow and find the answer to that question. It definitely leads into next question, though, which is we tend to see a lot of this behavior. Well, I'm not going to say we tend to see a lot of it, but from what I've seen, I've seen it from time to time within the anime community, where you have all these creators who are coming out with all these great stories, these great storylines, and they have all these messages. And yet you have some people in the community who just don't seem to get it, because they treat certain other individuals within the community in a terrible type of way. So I was wondering if I could get your take on that. Why exactly is it that people continue to persist with these behaviors when they see the messages in the work that these creators create? I mean, where is this coming from? Is it the fact that they're not getting the message, or you know what I mean? It's just total confusion.
Yeah. I feel like what it comes to really is, with any type of work, you have to really you have to relate to certain characters. You have to latch on to certain characters to enjoy anything. You have to see it some way, somehow. That's what makes anime so great, is that a lot of stories are not just like, oh, if you're not Japanese, you're not going to be able to relate or get it. Because at the end of the day, it shows that if you do get it, or you do relate to a certain character, it means, oh, wait, we're all people, and we all, no matter what, you know, race, or no matter what nationality, all these different things, ethnicity, we can still experience the same thing, which is why I love a lot of the anime stories, and why I do with my comedy, whether it's stand-up, acting, or otherwise, that I try to relate it always to love, because love is, to me, an international language, if that makes sense. Like, no matter who you are, no matter what you go through in life, love is always going to be something that is always the same. It may be expressed in different ways depending on the person or religion or place in the world you are at, right? But at the end of the day, the idea of like a relationship or marriage or stuff like that is always at its core essence the same, or at least when it comes to true, like the actual idea of love, right? So I think when it comes to stuff like that, people can always relate to it and stuff. But some people just focus on the action, or just focus on different aspects that don't really, that the creator uses as a vehicle to show some of these things. Like you said, you watched Demon Slayer, right? So like a lot of Demon Slayer, a lot of, like you touched on earlier about Demon Slayer, is like the perseverance of the main character and, you know, not giving up, and all these little messages and gems that you'll get throughout the whole series. Some people don't pay attention to it because they just, you know, they say, oh, it's boring, or they just hyper focus on the action instead of like all the little nuances and things that follow with the work. So I think it's just a lot of hit and misses. I think sometimes you just gotta, like, you know, relate to certain characters, and some people don't give things a fair chance, which is always fine. It's always about, you know, it's up to the user or the individual who is consuming these properties. But that's how I think, that's where I think it comes from. I think it just comes from not being able to relate to a certain character or certain situations.
Finding certain characters to latch onto so you can develop more healthier behaviors. Facts. I agree with that 100%. That's something that's a tendency. That's a main habit that I always usually have whenever I'm watching these shows as well. So I think that definitely helps a lot of times. Quick question before we go. What can we expect your content to look like in the future?
Ooh, what can you expect? Basically, you know, more anime like usual. I'm still trying to build a community. We've built a stable community for now anyway on my end of things, but I always look to expand and do different things. I have a short film coming out tomorrow actually called Creative Storm. You're in it. A lot of other creators are in it. Where basically I want to keep on doing more short films where, you know, I make it by creatives for creatives and for people who want to experience the, you know, what creatives go through in terms of like the creative process and how much they are willing to sacrifice or do sacrifice to obtain you know, whatever various goals we may have. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Awesome, man. You want to tell the audience a little bit about where they can find you?
Yes, sir. So you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at @wholesome_monk, where, you know, I just tweet off or say a bunch of stuff that are fun. Sometimes it's about social commentary, and also, of course, anime. So again, you can find me on all those platforms. Of course, you can find me on YouTube and Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts, the Wholesome Monk Podcast, where you can find your boy Alan on there too for a couple episodes, and many other people. We'll talk about anime, life, and all kinds of other different things.
Awesome. And y'all definitely want to check out the Wholesome Monk Podcast, especially if you want to become 10% more wholesome every single time you watch it.
Yes, sir.
Man's podcast. I love that joint. Albert Bannerman, a.k.a. the Wholesome Monk, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Real blessed to have you on. Hopefully we get to do this again, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.